step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, Performance 504. I'm Nicole Shiro, along with guest engineer and guest co-host Tracy Schultz, and our new apprentice, Rebecca Melasson. You are listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It's Wednesday, March 6, 2019, and today we have on The Vortex with Dog Magic, Women's Best Friend, and the Zach Theater with their production of Notes from the Field. And, of course, we'll have lively discussions including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, California, Smorgasbord, and we're beyond. Stay with us. Do you guys recognize that song at all?
Celine Dion?
No. It was Susan Egan, but it was a version of from Evita, and it was her own. I just love the orchestration of everything. Another suitcase, another hall. It's nice and slow and crazy, and it was totally random that I stuck it on there. There was no reason except for I was looking at music today for the show, and I went, "Oh God, this is so pretty. I haven't heard. Let's open with that." So. Thank you, Susan Egan. And with those thanks, let us thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful international folk bazaar. Yeah. He had a full house, total band. They were rocking out in here. I enjoyed that.
A lot of people in that band, and it sounded really solid.
Yeah, Kim, you know, he does it right. That's how Kim Simpson rolls. I also need to check in with you, Tracy, and check in with you, Rebecca. How are you both?
Doing well. How are things?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Couple of days. It's like it's been good weather. Just kind of hanging out.
We had our
membership
drive. We amplified in Austin, and now we're here to talk about theater. Woo! Okay, everybody should get a little more excited. We're all here to talk about theater. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. So now that we got all excited, I have to bring us down for a quick minute. We had some losses this week. We had a really big loss. We had they're all big losses. Loss is loss, let's face it. First, Luke Perry. People are like, what? Luke Perry was on Broadway, folks. Remember, I'm always talking about that Rocky Horror revival that was just kind of everything with Joan Jett and Dick Cavett and Daphne and Ruba Vega and everybody else under the sun. He came in and played Brad Majors. He took over the role from Jared Emmerich and came in and played the role for a while. And it was a phenomenal production. So Luke does have some Broadway credits. That hit me hard. I used to put in my rehearsal schedule that I could not rehearse on Wednesday except for tech week. Because I didn't say it was because I had to stay home and watch 90210. But that was why. I loved it. But big loss. Catherine Hellman. Another great loss. A lot of people may know her from Soap or Who's the Boss. She was Mona, the mom, or Brazil. I love that movie, Brazil. It's so wackadoodle. It's kind of everything.
It's out there.
She, 89, she died of complications from Alzheimer's. What a career. Just ring a bell, Michelle, if I put the picture up there. What a bell. Married to her husband for over 57 years. I mean, you just don't get that a lot in life anymore, especially in show business. I remember when she did this show a few years ago, or it was probably like about a decade ago. It was called The Oldest Profession, and it was Priscilla Lopez, original from Chorus Line, Mary Louise Burke, Catherine Helmed, Carolyn Glynn, and Joyce Van Patten. It was a drama concerning five aging prostitutes trying to survive in the world's oldest profession. And they're all like in their 70s and 80s trying to survive in the oldest profession. Man, her... It just goes on and on. Her Broadway debut was in 1969's Private Life. She earned a Tony nom for Margaret in the 72 revival of Eugene O'Neill's Great God Brown. She also was in Molière's Don Juan. She went back to Broadway again in 93 to play opposite of Harold Gould in Mixed Emotions. Full life. Really full life. Really big loss. And another one I watched on TV... I mean, I didn't stay home from rehearsals for Who's the Boss, but...
that Who's the Boss went on like 12 years or something. It was a substantial show.
Who's the Boss went on forever, man. Who's the Boss was everything. Tony Danza. Tony Danza was making pizza on his social media this week. Don't ask me why. He randomly showed up in my feed. So, but we also lost someone else, Hugh Forden. People are like, who's Hugh Forden? Hugh Forden is kind of the man. Because of Hugh Forden, DRG Records was formed. And DRG Records basically is the catalog that produces most every Broadway musical. And they were the ones that started. So we're able to listen. He started the wave of us listening to all these great musicals. And why we're playing this interstitial music. Good old Hugh Forden. He also produced a lot of records himself. He started DRG in 1976, and it specialized in theater albums. And basically, the label went on to record the big ones, such as, The Act, A Party with Betty Comden and Aldolf Green, March of the Falsettos, Meet Me in St. Louis, Falsetto Land, Gentlemen's Prefer Blonde, and it goes on and on and on and on. Kiss Me, Kate. I mean... What didn't he do? He also is the man responsible for all the forbidden Broadway cast recordings. So he's gone in and made sure to archive all the forbidden. He was a cool cat, man. He was 85. He's going to be buried alongside his brother and their parents. That warmed my heart. He was born in Brooklyn. He'll be going to be buried there, and he attended Syracuse University. He also is a really great biographist. He wrote a whole bunch of biographies on Hammerstein. He's one of the leading people in that. Fascinating man, and I was like, I need to give you a shout-out, sir. Thank you very, very much. Wow. So that's my womp news. Well, we're going to talk about some reviews, though. We had some openings, so there might be some whoop in that one. There might be some yay, jazz hands, and some other. There are four openings. I'm going to kind of go through these quick because there's a lot of stuff I wanted to touch upon. So one of the music, and I know Lisa and I will touch upon some of these again. Superhero. Everybody has been waiting. Lisa and I have talked about this show for a while. Jesse Green started off his New York Times review. Dear Simon Branson, today is going to be a good day, and here's why. Oh, wait. Wrong show. I was like, uh-oh. This doesn't look like it's going. It says, but a person could be forgiven for momentarily confusing Superhero, the new musical about a withdrawn teenager and his anxious mother, with Dear Evan Hansen, the hit musical about a withdrawn teenager and his anxious mother. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm like, it's not good when they're comparing you to another show through the whole review. And it went on to three more paragraphs before it says, there, alas, the resemblance ends. But it literally was at the bottom. Like, it went on for a long time. They say the problem, it's low stakes. It's a high whimsy concept. There's hard not to spoil to some of the songs. Interestingly enough, and this did inspire me to play our last song of the day, is from Next to Normal. The gentleman who wrote Next to Normal, which I love, wrote the music. They also wrote the music to If Then. So people really, really, really... And it says their songs do enrich the storytelling the same way they did in Next to Normal and If Then, but it doesn't prove effective in all the scenes. And it goes on and on. I was like, oh, no, that's not good. I was like, maybe that's just him, right? Mm-hmm. So then I read The Hollywood Reporter. The bottom line, is it a bird? Is it a plane? Can it even get off the ground? I was like, oh, gosh, this is just like...
Roast beef.
Yeah. It says this didn't compare it as much. And it says there's a lot of reasons to really root for superhero, from, you know, not being a jukebox musical, from being an original piece, from the content of and the topics to. But it just doesn't. So it makes me really, I was like, no, that made me a little sad.
Is there any comic book superhero tie-in stuff?
There is.
There is?
There okay. is. And Bryce Pinkham plays the elusive neighbor and kind of, yeah, he marshmallowizes the young kid marshmallowizes, I want to say, I think it's the mailbox outside. So there's some cool special effects and everything from his bedroom window. He marshmallowizes, I'm making that a verb. He marshmallowizes the mailbox outside on the street. But yes, the elusive neighbor, who's played by Bryce Pinkham, who people may know him for most recently being in Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. So yes, I know. And oh, here's a picture of Bryce. You may recognize him here. Do the viewers see, do they recognize it from the paper? So another show that opened, and this is New York, this opened in La Jolla out in California, Diana. It's okay. Princess Diana the musical is what it is.
Oh wow.
So we all sit here dumbfounded, right? They loved it.
Really?
It just I was like, "What?" And it was people were like, "I can't believe I'm saying this." You would think apparently from the way they handled the content and from the way, first of all, Judy Kaye is playing Queen Elizabeth. Let's just talk about Judy Kaye as Queen Elizabeth right there. Like that's kind of everything, and she throws F-bombs. How do you not love it when the queen throws F-bombs? So,
all right.
So, yeah. So this review, in the new musical Diana, the British princess seems as American as a Broadway musical. The photos are so creepy. The costuming and the hair and the makeup. It's kind of like, whoa.
Doppelgangers.
So here's what's so cool about this musical. Who would have guessed the music would have come from David Bryan? And I had to stop and reread that, the Jersey Girl and Me, because he's a founding member of Bon Jovi.
Oh, okay.
Yes. 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 Okay. If a rock star were required of job telling, this romance filled, scandaled plague, tragically abridged tale, which probably should have gone to Diana's friend Elton John. Yeah. And I probably would have opted for Adam Gutell, a Broadway composer whose work Light in the Piazza gracefully balances pop instances with operatic lushness. Most like Diana herself during her years in the radioactive spotlight. But I have to tell you, should it really matter? Because this is no more British than the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I have to confess, I was thrown by musical numbers that made Diana and Prince Charles seem as American and Applebee's. Quite a feat, considering the lead actress playing Diana is actually raised in England. Oh, I was like, wow. This is the craziest article. And the whole thing just goes on and on and on and on. But everybody had, yeah, I posted a few of these, so we'll put them all online. But world premiered musical Diana is witty, provocative, rushes past the subject, really has some beautiful things to say about people's performances. Here it is. But alas, the Queen of England, in one memorably cheeky number, almost dropping serial F-bombs. And this time, we're not talking Falklands.
Oh, that's a bad
pun. I was like, this is a bad pun, but that's so great. Put the politics into it. Now has me curious because I was laughing so hard. The Cake. I was wondering about The Cake. The Cake had a premiere. Cake just opened on Broadway. But The Cake had a premiere at the Alley Theater last summer. And it went to a few different theaters before it made it to New York. It is starring Deborah Jo Rupp, who you all may know as the crazy mom from The 70s Show.
Yeah, very familiar.
And it's based on newsworthy topical conversation about a woman who does not want to bake a cake for a lesbian couple. But this character that she plays, the lesbian couple, this one of the girls is her best friend's daughter, and her best friend is deceased. So there's this torn of, are you turning your back on your family? Are you turning your back on your faith? There's a lot of different things. And they say her character is just like, they said, Della is no Paula Deen, but her bright gumball of good cheer. And she's the most delicious sort of bigot. She's troubled by her prejudice.
Oh my God.
She's troubled by her prejudice and not oblivious to it.
Oh.
So
she's self-aware.
She's self-aware. Yeah, I was like, but interesting.
But she's also charming.
It got a really, really good review. Although it was interesting, all the changes they've made since the alley and some of the most current content they put in there, including some Donald Trump stuff, was the stuff folks didn't like. And they liked it more originally when it was the other way. So I find it interesting. It's been rewritten a lot. It got rave reviews in Houston at the Alley. And the woman who wrote it is a writer on This Is Us. And she wrote it based out of conversation she had with her parents, because her parents do not believe in same-sex marriage. And so this is where this entire piece came up. Becca Brunstetter is her name. And she's I don't know if you watch This Is Us, but I'm taking out tissue every 10 minutes in that darn thing.
Take a break from that.
Me too. And I yell that's in the other room, damn you, This Is Us. Yeah. And my brother laughs. So. And then the final review is about a play called Daddy. And here is the title. Here is the review issue. This daddy has issues, a pool, and Alan Cumming too.
Oh, wow.
Alan Cumming's in this show. It did not print the picture. I'm so upset. There is this real life infinity pool on the stage. What? I'm fascinated by water, fire, and flying objects on stage. The show could be awful, but water, and giant animatronic puppets like Kong.
Yeah. King Kong.
There are certain things. So the water on this is crazy. So they said, even sharing a stage with a naked Alan Cumming, the swimming pool steals the show.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I was like, oh, okay. It's a portrait of a corrosive love affair between a young black artist, played by Ronald Peet, and an older, richer white man, played by Mr. Cumming, in a Mephistophelian type of mode. And this no doubt comes... this guy is the gentleman who just wrote this play is Jeremy O'Harris, who just wrote Slave Play and was... just got rave reviews. And they said this is not the same. I laughed at this part. The play may be the strangest karaoke performance in New York right now. A sopping wet Mr. Cumming, holding a hand mic and backed by a gospel trio, sways in the middle of a pool while delivering a smoky-voiced rendition of a George Michael pop hit. The song is Father Figure, and it sounds a lot creepier here than it did when it ruled the airwaves 3 decades ago.
Oh, man.
And I think he's writing it because of the lyrics in relation to this relationship these two men have with each other. There was some really interesting stuff. There was, I would still go see it. I'm fascinating. Ben saw all the versions beforehand, so he talked about the changes that were made from when it was first done at Yale. I like when these reviewers actually see the product and can see the changes. They don't always do that. So
I kind of see the evolution, the sausage, how the sausage is made.
We like to show how the sausage is made on offstage and on the air. Yeah. So that's kind of exciting. All right, we're going to make this light, short, and sweet. I'm going to whip through a few of these because these are just to make us giggle. But then again, maybe someone would like to audition. I don't know. Magic Mike the Musical is looking for gentlemen.
Sign me up. I'm getting my summer bod ready right now.
Well,
I knew that was coming.
Here you go. You need to be a man of ages 18 to 30 in excellent physical shape. They are looking for video auditions. They would like a brief pop rock song, not longer than 1 minute in length, that shows off range with piano accompaniment. So no click tracks, folks. Two, a brief contemporary or hip-hop dance clip no longer than 2 minutes in length that shows off athleticism, technique, and any special skills such as gymnastics, tumbling, etc. And in large, bold, no nudity. I was like, someone had to laugh writing this audition notice.
Yeah, it sounds like they had a bunch of submissions that fell outside of those rules.
Yes.
Put their foot down.
So because that basically was a new casting announcement, they had to put this out. I giggled so hard. So you have until March 17th. You can email all your little videos to magicmikebroadway.com. All that information's on there. Again, Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey are next to normal, folks. Write the music on this bad boy. Yes. The book is by Roberta Aguirre Sacasa, who wrote American Psycho, which Duncan Sheik wrote the music for, which is everything. But American audiences failed to see the beauty in it.
Magic Mike.
This is totally left field, but Jeff Goldblum has a tendency to be in movies where he takes his shirt off, and he's musical. I want to see him try out.
He's not 18 to 30.
Oh,
I will make an exception.
He failed that. So it's going to be in production, Boston. The show's performances begin in November with an official date, December 15th. Wow. Magic Mike
That's
made me
tempting.
Laugh.
That's tempting.
King Kong. He's just not doing well, that poor guy. But he's going to make his resurrection in Japan, and I think his home is just so made for there. I'm excited. But here's box office plummeted big time for all Broadway shows. Like everyone around it was the best of times, yada, yada, yada. And so the article started. Total industry sales were down 9%. Mean Girls took the biggest hit. Biggest hit. Worst week of its entire run. I was like, really? Even The Prom is in dire straits, only grossing 37% of its potential.
Was that just this past couple of weeks, or is it this quarter?
Yeah, they do the weekly box office.
Wow.
And this is last week. Pretty Women's lost momentum. Well, I'm surprised it took this long. And they announced their opening in England, too. I'm perplexed. It went boom. King Kong, we knew. Boom. Cher Show was in the red. King Lear and Ain't Too Proud, those two are the only ones that are actually grossing respectively. I was kind of shocked by all this. I think they're trying. We're now at that spring because the giant spring preview came out in the New York Times, which I didn't bring the thing in to talk about. So I'll just link to that online. We'll skip over it. But Hadestown is in there, and you know my obsession with Hadestown. And okay. I am going to play a little bit from that later because I am obsessed. Previews begin April 12th, and I'm obsessed. So Lisa and I talked quickly about, you know, the Michael Jackson musical was happening. It's not happening. Oh, they said it wasn't happening. Last week, Lisa and I, they said they're postponing for 2 years. Lisa and I were like, yeah, we think you're postponing for longer, and we know why. Yeah. Oh, they released a statement now.
Oh, Lord.
They said the musical will still be going on despite the documentary Finding Neverland.
Lord.
Wow. They made a statement today on Saturday, confirming the name will be Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
They need to change that.
Okay. A poster for the show is already up on 44th Street. And people, I had to print the picture. It is a big poster up. It does cover all of his younger years. I don't even know where to go with that. I just wanted to let Lisa and I were like making a joke. No, they did say it's still going to happen. It's just not in Chicago for a bit. I'd like to talk to that man in 6 months and see where it happens, what he has to say. Totally excited about this opening tonight. Susan Laurie Park's new show, White Noise, is opening tonight. Divi Diggs from Hamilton is in it. Thomas Sodusky, Zoe Winters, and Shariah Irvings. So excited about this one. So excited. It's about four longtime friends navigating a racially motivated incident with the cops, and it leaves one of them shaken. Love Susan Laurie Parks. I mean, there's just so much love. So I can't wait till next week when we talk about those reviews. Women's Day, International Women's Day, is Friday. And they're having a Women's Day on Broadway. It's the second annual event. Disney Theatrical Group started it. I was like, really? I was like, who started all this? There are literally 2 days full of events and sitting and talking to women about writing and about diversity. And I was like, what the Constitution means to me is one of their spotlights. Spotlighting marquee women, stage, screen, and studios, employing change. A conversation, what it takes to be a change maker. Closing thoughts from Tony-nominated director-choreographer Graciela Daniela, who did Ragtime and Once on This Island. I just think this is so cool. I was like, whoa, they really built this out. So there's so many names. I could go on and on and on and on, but we have a whole list of what's happening. And I was like, go Broadway. Pretty cool stuff. So this is a really weird thing that happens. We have people that get injured and have to go out during rehearsals or previews. Andrea Martin is in Taylor Mack's new show, Gary, and she broke four ribs. So she's out of the show. But instead of just replacing her, They took another actress from the show and put her in the role and then brought another actress in to play the other actress's role. So it's a lot of, which is really crazy. So Christine Nielsen is now going to be assume the role that Andrea Martin was playing, which is opposite Nathan Lane. And Tony Award winner Julie White is going to join the cast. So Taylor Mack, that guy, he is bright, brilliant, crazy, everything. So yeah, four ribs.
What they doing in that place?
I don't know, because you know she's in Pippin. She was in the original. Okay. She was in this revival of Pippin, and she's hanging from the sky singing, and I couldn't stand up quick enough to give this woman a standing ovation 20 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's hanging from acrobats and doesn't injure herself, but in Taylor Mack's show, she's got four ribs broken. So I don't know, but so you know, when Bruce came to Broadway, made me really angry. Not because Bruce came to Broadway. I think it's really cool to experience that, but because they called it a Broadway show. And we knew that it was going to open the doors for other musicians to start doing it. And it's happened. And it's now going to be Morrissey.
Yeah, from the Smiths.
Yes, from the Smiths. Morrissey. That he was like the second largest British pop icon in all of Britain, which is crazy. But he's a very scandalous man who's not afraid to say what he wants to say. I love the Smiths. But, you know, I've gotten angry with Morrissey and some of the statements he has made in life. Yes, Morrissey, they say it's only a week. I don't know. Bruce was only supposed to be for a bit. But yes, Morrissey. I just had to say that. Morrissey. Morrissey is coming to Broadway.
There is a story it's like that people could do around Morrissey. It's like he's fascinating in his fandom. And it's like, especially it's like south of the border, is very interesting. But I don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet he's going to do a whole concert and play. I think he's going to be playing the Smiths and Morrissey. And I don't know. He's really great live. I'm just going to say. I love my Antonio Banderas. He's opened a theater in Spain, 900-seat theater. It's finally going to... He's been working on this baby. It's been his love letter forever. He is about to open it, and he announced what his inaugural show will be, and he's going to do a Chorus Line. What? And I was like, Chorus Line. And he's going to do it all in Espanol, a Spanish version of a Chorus Line. Okay. He's going to direct it and star in it. I'm like, oh no, wait, no. See,
wow.
Now, you obviously know he's not one of the people on the line. He will be playing the director.
Okay, yeah.
Who's only on stage for a few minutes and a voice from behind the booth the whole time.
But he's directing the show,
too. I love the show, of course, line. So I think this is kind of everything. So it's going to be inaugural season. The theater is called, and excuse my Spanish, Teatro del Soho Kiaspink. It's got a whole bunch of X's and stuff in here. He's doing auditions all over in Madrid, Malaga, and Barcelona. I think that's so cool. I was like, go. Oh. And this one's for Lisa. Lisa loves My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Loves that show.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel Bloom is going to be bringing a live version to Radio City Musical. They're going to do a live show on May 14th. So tickets aren't on sale. There's not a lot of information. But if you want to get notifications about what's going to keep happening for the show, you can visit racheldoesstuff.com. I was like, that's the greatest.
Last year for South By, she came with a movie, and a lot of her cast members are also improvers and musical, and they did a thing at Esther's Follies. And so, yes, she has a lot of...
she's got the chops to do it.
Yeah, so, she can make something like this happen.
Radio City is a big stage. Yeah, it's a big stage. But this is a lot of cool and a lot of fun. So, all right, well, that's my news. I started whipping through it quicker, and we did get through it all. I can't even believe that. And I really edited out a lot of stuff, but we still got through it all. So we're going to go out here and listen to a little bit of Hadestown. And this is a totally kind of different song. I normally have done the really bluesy and jazzy and rocky, and this one is a little bit different, but, you know, it still has devil and demons and soundy. So we're going to listen to that new beautiful musical starring one Patrick Page and Reeve Carney that Nicole Shiro is very excited is coming to Broadway in April with previews. And then we'll be back with our guests here from the Vortex. Stay with us.
I was alone. So
we are back. Well, that was exciting. That was a lot of donors that support co-op. That's jazz hands to those folks.
Yay.
You don't have to wait.
That was great.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to wait for membership drive too to become a member and support co-op. You can go online to koop.org or you can call right here 512-472-5667 all year round. Woo!
Double wow!
Woohoo!
Anytime. So let's introduce our first guests. Today we have with us from the Vortex and the show Dog Magic, Woman's Best Friend, Rachel Martin and Suze Kemper.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello,
thanks
welcome.
Thank you.
I just realized y'all were all disembodied voices before the show. I did not introduce everybody, so shame on Nicole. Shame on me. So I will apologize to you both now for that. So I have to tell you, when I was looking up this show and I was, first of all, I giggled reading it. I am going to have to read some of it out loud because some of the description that you copy wrote is amazing.
Thank you.
But your image of the two of you, and you can see the friendship and the little dog outfits, it made my heart melt.
Thank you.
It made my heart melt. So could you please let folks know a little bit about what is this show about? What is this?
Suze, you want me to start?
And yeah,
you can
go ahead.
Yeah, you fill in the blanks for me in a second. Okay, well, what you should know about Suze and I is we've known each other since we were in college in the late 80s. And one of the first things we connected on is we were just sort of like lifetime obsessed with dogs people. And we've made a lot of work with each other, performance art work and stuff since the late 80s. And just thinking about stuff we'd never done. We've never done anything about dogs, which is crazy because we're like obsessed with dogs. And in real life, all we do is talk about our dogs and right, it's just dogs, dogs, dogs all the time. So it was kind of like a like weird oversight. I don't know why it took 30 years to do a show about dogs.
I think it's because people really, really need to hear more dog stories and see more dog pictures at this very moment in time.
I agree. I mean, Sully became an internet sensation.
There you go.
And people are still asking about him all these months later. I love my dog. So, and we're in a very dog centric.
Exactly. Yeah. And I
city.
Think Austin, yeah, exactly. Well, that was the other thing that kind of pushed it over the edge, because now that there's so many dog friendly cafes and bars and restaurants, and you know, whenever you go on the hike and bike trail, everybody's got one, if not four dogs and a stroller and what. So we were just like, yeah, Austin really seems to be the place to do a show that's about women and dogs.
So is this show actually of a script, or do you improv and kind of pull from the audience each night? Or
yeah, there's a lot of audience interaction.
There is a lot of audience interaction, and I kind of I'm going to throw this back to Rachel, but basically as we're making these pieces and talking to people about what it is that we're going to be doing, they have a lot of questions. They say, well, is it a dance? Is it a musical? Is it?
Yeah, they're like, is it an art show? Is it a play? Is it a musical? And it's like, yes, it is all of the above.
I'm
going to
read a little bit of what you guys have in your description
it.
Because I just love it. Using visual art, performance art, monologues, movement, songs, tableau vibrant headdresses, dog ventriloquist dummies, flying marionettes, video interviews, audience interactions, a dog devotional shrine, and a dog version of Zoltar the Great.
Yeah, we got it all.
We will take you on a surreal and magical exploration of the unique interspecies relationship between girls and women and their canine companions. Yeah, that made my heart swell.
Well, I'm really glad you like flying objects because we've got them in this show.
I love flying. So flying marionettes. So, okay. How long is this show? Like, how long is the whole experience when one comes to the theater?
It is a standard 2-hour show, 1-hour first act, 20-minute intermission, and a 1-hour second act. So just your standard theatrical thing. However, if people would like to come a little early, we have oversized dog toys on stage that are part of the set. And we would love it if people would arrive early and take selfies with huge dog bones and balls and pull toys.
I don't even know where one finds oversized dog
toys.
You make
them.
Is just so exciting.
No, on so many levels. You just go to your floor and you pick up the toy your dog was playing, and then you get the grid paper out and you just scale that puppy up that was 6 inches tall and now it's 56 inches tall. Yeah, so yeah, we made all the props and set pieces. So that's how you do it.
But I should note there are no dogs in this show.
No dogs. dogs.
No dogs.
Oh, so if you're allergic to dogs, this is a safe show to come to because there are no dogs performing and we are not wearing costumes made out of dog hair. That's come up.
Inquiring
minds wanted to know about their allergies. So you're safe.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That cracks me up. This really just made my heart swell. So I guess I need to ask, you must have dogs. What are your dogs' names? I feel like we need to give the dogs a shout out we're here for the dogs.
I'm going to let Suze.
Because of the dogs.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Suze talk about all the many dogs in our lives. In 2019.
Oh, you wanted to go through the names?
No, but we can just tell them. I have to take my shoes off and start counting on fingers and toes. Because since the late 80s, I think we've had like 20-some-odd dogs.
From all when I had my own dogs, I've had 7 Belgian sheepdogs, 2 females and 5 males, a wolfhound, what we call a magpie, which is a giant schnauzer type crazy flouncy muppet. So a lot of dogs.
Yeah, and Suze embraces various kinds of dogs and loves them all. I, however, am breed loyal. My family always had Boston Terriers whenever I was growing up, mm-hmm. and I am Team Boston Terrier all the way. So all the dogs that I'm doing in this show and memorializing all are Bostons who are obnoxious, energetic, all over the place, and I cannot live without one in my life.
Well, I have a question for you. So what if someone's listening and they're like, yeah, I'm just not a dog person. I'm
That's
a cat
okay.
person.
Well, I don't want to. Should we spoil it?
Is this show for them too, right?
Yeah, because if you're not a dog person, generally there's some other animal that you are. And, you know, you should just check it out. Maybe there are other animal appearances in the show, even though it's called Dog Magic. There might be some other animals.
You heard it here, folks, on offstage and on the air. We got the goods.
Yeah. There might be. You should check it out.
I brought you. I brought you some very rare dog money.
Oh my goodness! It is dog money. I love it. Yes. Will you have it out there for your devotional shrine?
Oh no, that's part of
this
the,
is
the
actually
Zoltar.
This is part of our all-seeing, all-knowing dog advice booth.
Okay, I'm just
kind of
so
like
intrigued.
Like a wooden nickel. I like it.
Yeah.
This is so intrigued. So you're only playing this weekend, correct?
We're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee. So 4 chances to get your fortune told by the dog fortune-telling Zoltar Oracle. Yeah.
I love this. And I'm a Vishla girl. This kind of looks like a Vishla.
Yeah.
They have that labby-like body.
Right.
This is so, so exciting. We're I'm sorry that we're running out of time and we can't talk more, but I hope you guys are going to stick around backstage and we can talk to you a little bit
more. Yeah, I think the other thing that we'd like to say is joining us in this two-woman show to shore us up, give us energy, and delight everybody. We have a number of co-stars. Suze and I are singing, which you probably might want to bring earplugs or whatever, but we actually had people who really sing really well in the show, so we got all talking, all singing, all dancing.
Do you want to give a shout out to any of those names?
Oh yeah, I would like to shout out to Joseph Quintana, who you may have seen locally doing musical theater and opera. He's the big voice in this show. To Alana Logston, who I'll just tell you, she's playing a certain breed of dog and is very delightful. She's one breed of dog all night long. To Frankie Conover, who's going to be playing live guitar, and to Marty Brown, who's going to be dancing with me in one number.
Wow. I love it. Well, thank you both so much
for
joining
us,
Rachel and Suze. It was so great to have you, and can't wait to talk to you more at Backstage and Offstage.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's the Vortex Theater with Dog Magic, Women's Best Friend, playing at the Vortex March 7th through 10th only. For more information, you may visit vortexrep.org. We'll be right back in a minute.
Happiness is finding
a... did you guys notice that I played a little Charlie Brown and Snoopy? It's happiness! Because that's what dogs make me.
Oh,
and it was
nice.
The Charlie Brown and the... It makes me excited. All right, we're gonna zip through, and we're only going to do today in theater history because we needed to get down and test some serious talks with the notes from the field folks. And I was gonna skip today in theater history, but sadly, there's a lot of good history in today in theater history. So today is the birthday of one Stephen Schwartz. That composer who gave us, I don't know, Pippin that we were just talking about, or I don't know, maybe that hit Wicked. Have you heard of it? Or I don't know, Godspell. I don't know. So, you know, that Stephen Schwartz. I have the Godspell. It's not my favorite musical, but yet I can't stop watching the movie. I own it with Victor Gerber, man. Yeah. And I have that DVD. Yes. I can't get enough. Michelle will have a viewing party. There was also today Jeffrey, Paul Rudnick's AIDS comedy in 1993 opened off Broadway. And they put, it was in air quotes, but that's what everyone called it then. It starred John Michael Higgins, and it ran through 1994. One more time, the longest running off-Broadway review of the 80s opened on Broadway, but it didn't have success as it did years before that in the 80s. In 2002, it was short-lived. 2008, Debbie Allen's all-black revival of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof with Anika Noni Rose, James Earl Jones, Felicia Rashad, and Terrence Howard. God, that is such a powerhouse, right? Opened at the Broadhurst Theater. Robert Schenken's political drama All the Way, starring Bryan Cranston as LBJ, opened in 2014. I know, I was like, there's some good, I can't ignore today in theater history. So other birthdays today, Oscar Strauss, Ring Lardner, Lou Costello, Ellen Logan, Shuler Hensley. Oh, Shuler, I love you. Norm Lewis, it's not his birthday. They were talking about music from Stephen Schwartz. We're going to listen to a hair of Stephen Schwartz, and then we are going to come back and talk to the cast of Notes from the Field. We'll be right back.
There's been some confusion over rooming here at
Shiz. Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
And we are back. We had Kristen pick a number between you. Gave us a little bit of Miss America there. Hello. And so we are back, and we are joined with three out of the four cast members from Zach Theater's production of Anna Deavere Smith's Notes from the Field. And I'm going to introduce you three because, again, I apologize to Rachel and Suze. I was awful and did not introduce you earlier. You were just embodied voices. Shame on me. See?
It's all good.
I'm smack in my hand. Bad Nicole. Good. Zell Miller III.
Hello.
Michelle Alexander.
Hey.
And Kristen Woodrow.
Hello.
Thank you all for joining us here today. So, Notes from the Field. It's a timely and heavy little piece here.
Can we shout out Carla Nickerson?
Yes, Carla Nickerson is our fourth. Carla. And Carla. She is unable to join us today, but we are raising the roof and jazz handing for Carla in here. Yes. So, the four of you comprised this show, Anna Deavere Smith's Notes from the Field, which was critically acclaimed. It's only been performed by Anna, has not been performed since she did the piece in New York, and she has given this blessing to you four and to Zach Theater on this production. Who wants to give folks a little nickel and dime tour of what is Notes from the Field?
Oh, one of y'all.
What is this show about? Michelle's pointing to the gentleman.
Yeah. I think it's about several different things, but I think the underlying theme is the school-to-prison pipeline that is happening in America and how that affects communities, not just individuals, but how it affects communities. And I would say the way that adults deal with young people. For me, that's the overall theme. What do you think, Kristen?
Yeah. Zell hit it right on the head. There are so many different perspectives. Anna calls them portraits in the script. She's done over 250 interviews with people, and then she had those interviews transcribed, and then she compiled a certain number of them. I believe we have 15 in the show into the script that we know as Notes from the Field, which differs a little bit from what you've seen on HBO. There's some characters that didn't translate over to the actual play that we're performing.
Right. And we should know there is an HBO special. So you may think you've seen Notes from the Field from watching the HBO special. And yes, it is Anna. And yes, it is these people's, but it's not.
No,
it's very different.
These are very, very different pieces. They're two different works, even though they're called from the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you each play different characters. So how is that going? playing these people who are alive. Majority of folks are alive. Yeah. You could pick up the phone and go, "Hey," that's
I'm Instagram friends with one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out. Reached out to...
Have you become? I was wondering. Yes. Have you become friends
I
with
did.
One of them?
Well, with Naya Kenny, who's I want to say young 20s. I just, you know, I started stalking all these characters, and we were just trying to get more of their personalities. And social media people are just, you know, themselves way more than I guess in real life. I don't know, but I found her. And I just sent her a message like, "You're a queen, and I'm getting to play you and, you know, the show." And she was surprised that we were doing it. And then she friended me. And so we kind of keep in contact, but not a lot. But yeah, she watches my stories. So, it's nothing.
That's pretty cool, though.
It is really cool. It is really cool. So, and I tried Brie Newsome, but, you know, she's busy saving the world. So... Shout out to Brie.
I love it. So you're also doing something with this show that Anna didn't get to do in New York and did in her earlier incarnations, only two other times. And this is that the conversations, she has a conversation portion, which is put back into the show. And it's in the middle of the second act.
Yes.
So, I'm going to disclaimer. I was there for Attack and Address, so I kind of saw this process unfolding and how it was going to work. And now I've been hearing people talking and saying, "Oh my gosh, this person was saying," you know, I'm hearing some feedback. I'd love to hear, you were part of these group conversations, you four. So how has that been for you, having a conversation about this content in the middle of the...
Yeah, in 2015, I got to see Anna do this at Berkeley. I randomly was in Union City, California, and a coach of mine was able to get us tickets, and we saw the show and didn't know what to expect, and got to be a part of these community conversations in which, in the middle of the second act, facilitators break the audience up into groups of, at that time it was about 15 to 20, and we just talked about themes from the show, things that stood out to us and solutions. And doing it now, Anna wasn't a part of those because she's one person, and she had a huge team that was able to take that on. Now it's the four of us, and then we have four facilitators who get to do that with us, and we all... model those community conversations with the model of a restorative justice peace circle, but they all are a little different. You'll never get the same thing twice. We tend to change it up every night depending on who we have in our circles.
And I want to do a shout out because, and I made sure I printed this, that we give Sherwin and Kim Patton. They've been a really big part of this with Life Anew Restorative Justice and helping to train and put all these. There's a beautiful little piece in the program. Is there something that has been said during the conversations or during the performances now that you've opened that has been like a light bulb moment or a different aha moment? I mean, I know you were having these through the discoveries of these characters in rehearsal, but now with the audience in there, I mean, because you're having a conversation during a show and you don't normally, you don't normally have that from an audience member in the middle of a show.
I think it's, you know, it varies. And that's the beauty of the human species, right? That it varies. And, if anything, it's, not, you know, looking at, the cover of a book and judging by your circle of what's going to happen in the circle. Cause they're, you know, and the cool thing about it is that, sometimes it fuels, cause I think Shell and I are in the third act and it's like a really big piece for us to come out there, and Shell opens it. Like, so she goes immediately from the conversation right into this amazing moment that I'm not going to tell you that you should, you know, if you're interested, you should come and look at it. But it's an amazing moment. So I don't know. It's like, and but yeah, and then there's been some. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. There's been some upsetting things. But as a facilitator, you're not there to. First off, we're not there to judge.
Right.
Secondly, we're not there to make it personal. But you know, you're a human being, and you have to keep the circle moving. That's our job as a facilitator.
I guess sometimes the hard words are the words that help us figure out how to either tell our story a different way or make a change or look at something differently on our end too. Yeah. That's like, oh, so it's awful and I can't stand it. I hate feeling uncomfortable more than anything, but yet there's something so wonderful about feeling uncomfortable. Yeah.
I just feel like I can't wait till you see Shell, because what you're thinking is about to be exploded with what she's about to give you. So that's what I'm just like, I just can't wait till the circle's over because you're gonna get it.
Yeah,
and I have to say you have some really amazing projection, the production,
absolutely,
and what Stephanie Abusing has created with these projections,
it's amazing,
is really just spot on. All right, we're running out of time, so I hope you guys will stay or can stay a little bit at backstage. But definitely. I'm going to ask you all: you play multiple people.
Yes.
I mean, this is very Sophie's Choice of me, which is not really cool for this show, but I'm going to do it. If you know where. What are you finding your joy in right now? It's probably going to change all the time. Oh, yeah. What are you finding your joy in these characters? Like what?
I would what's say your like, kind of what Zell was saying after the community conversations. I think the audience response is always surprising to me, and there's a lot of humor in that piece. So I think that's where I find a lot of my joy. And working with these people, we laugh.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
We laugh so much, and I love that. Like, the crew, we laugh with the crew, the people who do our mics and the sound. Like, we love each other's company. And I'm like, you have to for this kind of work.
No doubt.
So that really helps, yeah.
I love that I got excited when I saw Susan, Rachel, and I learned all about their show.
Yes.
And I was literally, when I found out the four of you were cast in this show, I was that, like, it's so cool when art on so many different levels can still just get you so excited, because we need the artivism, we need the laugh, we need everything to have it. Thanks to all our artists today for bringing that on.
No doubt.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. I hope you guys will stick around and for backstage and offstage. That was Kristen Woodrow, Michelle Alexander, and Zell Miller III from Zach Theater's Notes from the Field by Anna DeVere Smith, running through March 31st, the Clayburg at Zach. For more information, you may visit zachtheater.org. And I decided to choose Brian Stokes Mitchell, Make Them Hear You.
Yes, come on.
Ragtime.
Come on, Ragtime.
Aw, the CD skip. That's not cool.
That's my fault.
Well, well, you know, I tried making people. Michelle is not. Oh my gosh. Folks, we have Brian Stokes Mitchell live in the studio. Oh my gosh, I think I would drop to the ground and not be able to, like, play with the buttons anymore. That would be exciting. I'm going to work on that one. Well, thank you all so much for a great show. Rachel Martin, Susie Kemper, here today with Dog Magic, a woman's best... Dog Magic, woman's best friend. The Vortex, running March 7th through 10th, vortexrep.org. And Zach Theater with Notes from the Field, running through March 31st. The Clayburg, zachtheater.org. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Lisa will be back with us next week.
All right, shout out to Lisa.
You can get the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Best Wage, offstageonair.com. Enter your email in the little box. Boom! We appear in your mailbox each week. Well, this is Next to Normal, and this is supposed to be Who's Crazy in my psychopharmacologist, but we'll see if it's gonna play or not. Tracy's giving me the thumbs up like the fun, so we're gonna go, hey.
Who's crazy? The one who can't cope, or maybe
we are just got finished with Born Ready the musical, and we are backstage amongst the dumpsters with the unknown puddles of liquid and big boxes and trash, and it's just like how we like to roll. It's like how we like to roll. Dirty girls.
Yes.
Hanging out, bringing out the boys. So we're lucky enough. We have all of our folks from offstage on here with us backstage today. So we're just going to jump right into it. Suze, I'm going to start with you. Okay. Where are you from? What's your story?
How long is this show? I'm originally from a tiny town in Pennsylvania, and...
I grew up in the middle of a town with surrounded by gypsies.
Where in Pennsylvania?
In Cultmont, Pennsylvania. They don't have a red light there. It's just about 1,000 people.
Oh, where in Pennsylvania is that? Is it?
It's little east central.
Interesting. I just drove through Pennsylvania. I had to drive to New York this year for the holidays to bring my dog. Okay. Speaks that so
good
I
job.
Yep, I had nice to bring segment. I brought my dog home there. So and so did you were you performing? Did you start performing? Where'd you get the performing bug or the theater bug?
My grandfather was in vaudeville.
That's so cool.
He had a real monkey and he also had a partner who played a monkey.
And, that's interesting. That's so funny.
My earliest memory was, I think, in seventh grade when I rounded up a bunch of kids and we decided to put on a show. And I slowly pilfered everything from our house and then told my mom to come see it. And she saw me sitting on top of a piano singing, "Let Me Entertain You."
And she was like, uh-oh.
Trouble.
The demon, like, trouble. Yeah,
you're in trouble. But my real performance art career began when I met Rachel, who and also up at, we were friends at UT in when we were going in through art school, and I also had a really lovely professor who was in his drawing class, and he told me that my drawings looked like sketches for performance, and I should just get my butt out on the stage and instead of drawing them, make them happen. Mm.
So this is I'm glad you brought up performance art. I had I went to school in Chicago, and my roommate I went to Columbia, nice. But my roommate went to the Art Institute and was a performance art major, mm-hmm. and my friends at my school were like, yeah, we're theater majors. And I'm like, no, she's a performance art major. And it was this big,
yeah,
like right. crazy.
Like attention
and, yeah. yeah, and it was like, what? And they're like, but what's performance? And we had, and I'm like, no, it's its own thing.
That's right.
So, and then I had two roommates from Sweden that moved here. And when I lived in New York, that moved here just to do performance art. And they barely spoke English and they would just dress up and they'd be gone all day. And I'd come home from work and I was like, how was today? They're like, no one understood us, but it was great. And
exactly.
I'm like, I love
even
what
better.
You do. So do you want to explain to people a little bit about like what it is? Because I think, I mean, you do it. So you would do it more justice than me going,
I'm not.
This is what my roommate did.
Well, you know, we have conceptual ideas that we want to bring to life. And we do that in a variety of ways. Rachel and I always like to say that we do whatever needs to be done at that time. So we're not dancers and we're not singers per se, but when we need to dance and sing, we do that. And
but we may need to sweep a floor, and so we'll sweep a floor,
yeah.
like because it's just tasks.
And mm-hmm. a lot of our, speaking of tasks, we've done a lot of work in actual performance venues, but Rachel and I have dyed our hair on, bus stops.
Yeah, we've shaved our legs, like, in public spaces.
We've performed in grocery stores and laundromats. And
so if people, do you guys have a website where folks can find more information?
Well, actually,
they want to, like, learn more about you or what you're
the
doing?
The cool thing about this is this actually, we were very, very active in the late 80s and early 90s. And the last time that Susan and I came back together to perform together was nearly 15 years ago, whenever the Blanton commissioned a piece off of us. So actually, we've been doing our own separate things. And so this is actually kind of a momentous show because we're coming back together again as a duet after not performing together for 15 years.
Well, do you have individual like websites
yeah,
if folks
I
wanted
do.
To find out more information?
Rachel does. She is an amazing and prolific artist, and she's... But I would have to say that in the early days that one of the things that really eluded us was documentation.
Yeah, because we were really, like, broke and back in the early days of video and stuff. We ended up with all these teeny tiny, like, people had, like, their grandmother's video camera that
yep.
would come to shows. So we have, like, boxes and boxes of those tiny tapes that are just degrading. So basically...
you got to put them all in DVD. Bonnie and I were just talking about it last week.
Actually, that is okay with me not
yeah.
to have that kind of documentation.
Because it's an ephemeral form.
Because it's something that happens in that moment
yeah.
with the people that you're with at that time.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So, Rachel, where are you from?
Well, I'll just say that I'm an Air Force child, so... I think let's just say that I went to high school in Abilene, Texas, and I had one of those Mr. Holland Opus drama teachers who changed my life.
What's their name?
Barney Hammond.
Barney!
Shout out to
Barney
Hammond.
The roof in a jazz hand.
Listen to this. This is crazy. I had lost track with him, and then everybody from high school was like, well, if anybody can find Barney, it would be Rachel because she knows how to work the internet. And so I was like, fine, I'll try again. So I type in Barney Hammond and hit enter. And up comes the theater and dance directory at University of Texas Austin Department. Oh. And I'm like, what? So that he had just been hired to teach there. My high school drama teacher from 25 years ago.
That's so cool.
Right. So I actually got to reconnect with him right before he actually retired. So he was coaching dialogue and everything in the theater.
So did you get into theater when you were in Abilene?
Yeah, I did. But I'm going to back up and say I was like, my parents were miffed. It was like they had given birth to a purple giraffe. I was just a born performer. Like, from the time I was a tiny like, they wouldn't even let me have shoes after I was, like, 2 years old because I would literally, like, destroy
tap
my shoes.
And do.
Like, trying to dance ballet without lessons and stuff, and they would just be like, yeah, you're off shoes. We can't afford to keep replacing those shoes. I think I'm literally, like, the living embodiment of kids, let's put on a show. Like, I started conscripting everybody in the neighborhood, like, by the time I was 3 or 4 years old. Like, I didn't even really know what theater was, and I hadn't even seen many movies. It was just like anything that I saw on TV, I was like, why can't we, like, do this live? And then the other thing about me, I was always equally fascinated with what was going on mechanically and technically to make theater happen. And so a hallmark of Susan, my work, and I love that you say, you see how the sausage is made? In our work, you see everything. Like, nothing is obscured, hidden, gauze. Like, you know, if a set piece has got to come out, then people are performatively going to move the thing. So, yeah, I would say that's the other thing about me. So I'm equally, like, visually attracted to theater and performance art and performatively attracted to it. Like,
the whole kit and caboodle.
I was just born, like, I love every, like, all talking, all singing, all dancing, like, see it. And, like, yeah, see it, smell it, hear it. Like, I love everything about it. And I was born that way.
And where you have a website that folks get more information?
You can find out about my work at galleryrachelmartin.com. All run together, so.
Galleryrachelmartin.com.
That's right.
Well, that's easy. Zell, what's your story? What's your story, Zell?
Oh, well, I...
Who are you, Zell?
I was born in Mansfield, Ohio. I lived there for 4 years, and then I've been basically...
I didn't realize you were from Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. And so...
you like the cold then, huh?
I love the cold.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, absolutely. So this weather has been a delight for you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Lisa, you guys would be right here getting all the excited about the cold.
Absolutely.
She loves the cold, too.
No doubt.
It's a four-letter word in my world.
But I think, you know, I've always been the type of actor that counts the words. And when I was in preschool, they were doing a Christmas play, and I was the smallest kid, so they wanted me to be Jesus, and I said, well, Joseph has 17 lines, so I'm going to be Joseph. That's who I'm going to be. And so when I was in going from 6th to 7th grade, how you do your little choice sheet, my mother said I should select theater or drama as the second choice. I wanted to go to journalism like my brother Tony. And she said, you should choose, drama because you have a big mouth and you have really good memory. And I didn't get into to journalism, the spots filled. And so this man named Jerry Miller was the theater teacher. And I made his life hell because I refused to do anything. I didn't want to be in there. And somebody got sick. And he said, if you can, he knew I knew the script. So he's like, if you can, like, get me through this, I'll do what I can to get you in journalism. And I did it and been on stage since then. So
you didn't want to go?
I didn't want to go back. Absolutely.
That's so cool. So I'm going to say this, we didn't talk really about it earlier, but you've been on this show before because you write.
Absolutely.
You write, man, you write some powerful shit.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm so glad I can say that.
Thank
right
you.
Now. I love your writing.
Thank you so much.
How'd you get into writing and wanting to perform your own voice?
Well, I got into writing. I had a really awful AP English teacher. Hope she falls down a flight of steps. And
do you
want to
know what?
Terrible.
Mine was too. Mine was.
She terrible.
Told me
she...
I lied because I ran in the room when I saw the space shuttle blow up in the 80s.
Oh my God!
She told me I was a liar. I turned around. And I said, "Who would lie about
exactly.
that?"
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some awful teachers.
No
out
doubt.
There. Yeah.
She was terrible.
Which you can learn about and know it's from the field.
But I started, so I had all this stuff. I didn't know it was writing. And I met this, I used to take Prince is the most amazing artist ever walked the planet to me. So yes. I would take Prince songs and like write my own words to them. And I can't sing, so that didn't work out. So, but I was on a Capital Metro bus one day, met this guy named Clayton Morrell, Richard Smith, and he invited me to something called the Catfish Poetry Society. And it was these predominantly black group of people sitting in this circle reading poetry. And so I didn't read the first three times I went, and then I read and they all lost their minds and they're like, oh my God. So then I just started doing poetry, going across the freeway, the divide of 35. I would go over to like Chicago House and read. And then I was but I always wanted to be an actor, and so I was one of the first company members of Frontera Productions with Vicky Boone, and they did Frontera Fest. And the spot came open, and Vicky's like, Zell, we got it, can you just come and do poetry?
Your poetry is,
and I was like,
it's slamming, poetry. Zell.
Thank you so much. And so I created this really bad play. It was awful, called Cell Therapy. And it was awful, but like people like had a really good response to it. So then I couldn't wait for – I don't sing. So, you know, I can't wait for Zach.
But you do when you –
Well,
you
thank you.
Recite
but,
your
yeah,
poetry,
I appreciate
you
it.
Do.
But I couldn't wait for that. You know, Zach would do that.
I saw you all sing in the Great Society. So
oh, no, I didn't sing. I moved my lips. I moved my lips. I was standing next to Michelle, who's awesome. So, but yeah, I got tired of like waiting for people to cast me. So I just said, you know, I'll just write my own thing. And I was like, Vicky, can I, you know, can you give me a spot? And she gave me a top of the week show. And
Are you working on anything new right now?
I am working on something new right now. I'm working on a piece about my mom who passed away 4 years ago, and it's called Vernell. Vernell was a B girl. So that'll be my next joint. I don't know if I'll do it in Austin though. So we'll see.
Well, you'll have to come on offstage and share a little
Absolutely.
Bit with it. So can do you have a website or anywhere folks can find?
This is
how
do
folks find more information about you, Zell?
You know,
they just Google Zell Miller
like,
III?
Yeah, they can just Google Zell Miller III. Make sure you put the third. Otherwise, you're going to get the crazy ex-governor from Georgia.
It's okay. Do you know Dale Watson? If you Google Dale Watson, he's also, there's the FBI counterterrorism Dale Watson, wow. who started the whole 9/11 thing.
Absolutely.
And then there's poor Olivia Nice, who just starred in Once. The porn star has her name. There's a doppelganger, a name doppelganger
Absolutely.
Out there, out
Absolutely.
There somewhere.
No doubt, no doubt.
And it's exploratory, so that's exciting. The gentlemen are saying, Michelle, you're next. So, Michelle, you've done backstage before.
Yeah,
so, I'm gonna switch it up here a little bit for you. What would listeners find some sort of secret little like fun fact about Michelle that
fun
no
facts.
That would
these guys know
that
I love
would,
fun facts
that would kind of be like get out Michelle I didn't know
well,
that about
I'll,
you
well I was the high school mascot for 2 years at Round Rock High.
What?
I kind
were
of
you
ran,
really
yeah it was an, like I didn't know that they were gonna pick me, but all my friends were cheerleaders and they were like, oh, you should be. And I was like, I'm gonna go, like, as a joke, I'm gonna go to the audition, and no one showed up but me. So by default, they're like, if you want it, you can do it.
What
so,
is the mascot in Round Rock?
A dragon. Rocky oh. the Dragon.
Actually, that's kind of
like
a fun,
dinosaur.
That's kind of a cool mascot.
It was cool, but like, mascot camp was terrible.
Wait,
it was
there's,
like,
wait,
fat
there's
camp
a camp?
With,
were you the only one there?
No, there were more people there, but it was like fat camp with uniforms. Like, I hated it.
There's really a camp?
There's
a musical waiting to be written
one
in
at
that
Westwood.
Right there.
Yeah. It was right. terrible. It's one at A&M and one at Westwood, and they both were just like terrible experiences.
Wait, these are like national mascot
yeah.
camps? These
yeah.
exist?
Wow. These things are a big deal. They make you watch videos and like, don't take off your head ever. Like, it's very intense. And when the coach was mad at us, she would make us like dance because it was hot and we would sweat. And it was just a terrible experience.
Oh my God.
My first football game, just the band is like, bomb, bomb. Everyone's like around me. And I just remember thinking, like, what have I done? Everyone laughed at me because I could not, like,
it has to be a weird experience because you're like out on a stage, but yet you're isolated by yourself inside.
I got in a fight with the Georgetown Eagle once. It was crazy. I was like, what have I done? Like, got doggy piled by the Dragonettes. And they was thick. You know, I'm thick, but, you know, they was thick. So it was not fun. I was like, this is not.
Did you keep your, do you have any of your mascot outfit?
I kept the hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and I was prom queen. I was a prom queen, too.
Okay, Michelle.
That was random.
You just made my day. I didn't think mascot camp was where we were going. And you just made, that was everything.
Yeah, that was high everything. School, man. I was cool. I was a cool kid. You know, if you can't tell by my stories, I was hip.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I love it. Kristen, where are you from?
Okay, take it away.
How am I going to follow that?
Yeah, you can't. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm originally from Chicago. I lived there 10 years, and then I moved to California to live with my mom. And I lived there 10 years. And
Lisa and I both lived in Chicago for a year. Yeah, so I love it. Love Chicago. Where in Chicago were you?
I was. Grew up downtown, and then my mom moved to Matteson.
Okay.
She's now in Crete. But, I moved to California, and I've lived in New York, Houston. Went back to Illinois to go to Peoria. I went to Bradley University. Mm-hmm. I also was a mascot in middle school.
Get out!
Canyon Lake Middle School.
What was your mascot?
Not as cool. I was a cougar, but I'm also a trained gymnast. Cool. So they taught me.
That's a secret.
We worked in how to do it with the head because the head like throws the balance off. So I was able to do stuff in my costume.
How long did you do gymnastics for?
Oh man, in San Diego, California, me and my friends would go to the park to skate. Mm-hmm. And there was a homeless woman there, and she saw us jumping around, and she like did a backflip and like landed in a handstand, and she taught us from scratch just right there in the park. And then I began taking classes, and then I did that for a long time, and then I started growing and I couldn't do it anymore.
But it's very Simone Biles of you, like, did a flip, let's put the kid in gym class. That's exactly what she did, and they were all like, wait a minute,
yes, yeah.
She's a little good. So how did you get into theater?
My grandmother used to force me to memorize poems. It's like as soon as I was able to speak, she'd make me memorize poems, and then I'd perform them at church. And then that turned into performance in middle school. And then my family's always assumed I was going to be a football player or a basketball player. I was very tiny for a long time, and now I'm 6'5". But
I was going to say, there's nothing tiny about you. You're a foot and a half taller than me.
Yeah, I grew 8 inches from eighth grade to my junior year in high school.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
But it came to the point where it was either play football or go to rehearsal. And it was football every day or rehearsal a few times a week. And I was like, I want to act. So I chose theater over sports.
How'd you end up in Austin?
I coached speech and debate at Bradley University. Humble brag, I'm an 11-time national champion.
Yes! Nice!
You can Google him.
And I coached there, and then I coached here at UT, which UT is the top speech team in the nation. And then I got bored, and I was like, I want to make my own projects. I want to do more projects. So
it's a lot of creators in this room in here besides performers. It's exciting.
Yeah, and now I'm working on besides this, I keep telling myself I'm going to take a break, but I don't. I'm working on a one-man show, an adaptation of Cornelius Eady's Brutal Imagination. It's based off of the story of Susan Smith, who in 1994, she killed her two kids.
Uh-huh.
And then she immediately ran to a house and blamed it on an imaginary black man.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, I think, Cornelius Eady wrote a book of poetry called Brutal Imagination from the perspective of that imaginary black man. Mm-hmm. And he sort of serves as the...
Interesting.
He's the archetype for black criminality and criminality of people of color. And he, Edie, like, he decenters Smith from her own story and makes it about this character. And in that way, we get to give him agency. And it's very physical, and I'm writing the music for it. I'm co-directing it with Andrew Rodriguez from UT.
Nice.
And we're just bringing on a bunch of collaborators. Cornelius Eady is coming to town with us, and he's doing some stuff with the Michener Center and with the Butler School of Music.
Do you have anywhere folks can find more about you or stuff online?
It's going to be a part of the New Works Festival at UT, April 15th to the 19th. The show runs about 50 to 60 minutes. No intermission. You can also just email me for information. It's kristinwoodrow@gmail.com. KristonWoodrow.
I had my mouth doing the key. Saw me going. I'm like, make sure you tell him it's KristonWoodrow.
KristonWoodrex. Which again, back to, I'm circling around, is my stage name. Woodrow is my grandfather's first name. My last name's Brown, but if I use Kristen Brown, people shorten it to Chris Brown. That's my name, doppelganger.
Oh, and I can't stand that. Yeah.
So Kristen Woodrow
it is. Do you want to know what? I hear you on that one. Yes, so, I hear you on that one. All right, Michelle, you could play, we're going to end it with this question here. What's your song, your go-to hit musical song? What's hot on your playlist right now?
Oh, right now? This is really random, but I've been listening. I just finished doing Sideshow, the musical.
Love it. So, yes. Bill Russell, come on
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so I like, what is the song the auntie sings? I don't know. Thank you. You should thank me every day.
Yes.
That one. I also love it. What is it? Oh, I just forgot it. Once on this island.
Once
on this island, Mama will provide. That's my jam.
And it's playing right now.
Oh.
We'll go out with listening
to
a little bit.
Yes.
Of it. All right. Thank you all for joining us backstage today. Thank you.
Whoa.